From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. At the Supreme Court today, a death penalty case with ramifications for lower federal courts. At issue is the question of racial discrimination in jury selection and whether the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is defying Supreme Court orders in evaluating such claims. This is the fourth death penalty case from Texas that the Supreme Court has heard in the last year. The other three resulted in startling rebukes to the Fifth Circuit, which hears cases from Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
The case of Thomas Millerell, an African-American convicted of murder in 1986, was back before the Supreme Court today for a rare second hearing. 2 years ago, the High Court ruled by an 8-to-1 vote that there was significant evidence of racial discrimination at Millerell's trial. The Supreme Court ordered the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to rethink its, quote, dismissive and strained interpretation of the proof of discrimination Millerell's lawyers had offered. The Supreme Court noted that prosecutors used their peremptory challenges, that is, challenges for no stated reason, to strike 10 of 11 eligible black jurors, that prosecutors had questioned black jurors more aggressively than whites, struck black jurors who gave substantially the same answers as white jurors who were seated, and that prosecutors had twice used a local procedure known as the jury shuffle to move blacks lower down on the list of potential jurors. Finally, said Justice Anthony Kennedy, in summing up the court's opinion from the bench 2 years ago, there was the Dallas County District Attorney's Office history of discrimination.
We accord some weight to petitioner's historical evidence of racial discrimination by the District Attorney's Office. It reveals that the culture of the District Attorney's Office, at least in the period before the case was tried, was suffused with bias against African Americans in jury selection. This evidence, of course, is relevant to the extent it casts doubt on the legitimacy of the motives underlying the state's action in this particular case.
Indeed, into the 1980s, the Dallas DA's office had a manual instructing prosecutors to strike blacks, Hispanics, women, and Jews from juries. The defendant in today's case, Thomas Millerell, has always claimed he was innocent and that his murder trial was unfair.
It's no question, no doubt in my mind that it was unfair. It was almost like a nightmare, like I wasn't in America.
Although the Supreme Court did not order a new trial for Millerell 2 years ago, it sent the case back to the appeals court using language that strongly suggested that the lower court, if it dutifully evaluated the evidence, would order a new trial. But the lower court did not. Instead, it ruled that the prosecutors' non-racial explanations for their actions were credible, that there was no racial motive for striking so many African-American prospective jurors. Remarkably, in its decision, the appeals court used verbatim the language not from the Supreme Court majority opinion, but the sole dissenting opinion filed by Justice Clarence Thomas. Now, normally, the Supreme Court would not take a second look at a case like this, but that is exactly what it decided to do. Today, Millerell's lawyer, former Solicitor General Seth Waxman, told the High Court that there are some cases where a finding of no discrimination is so incredible as to not be believed. Going through all the factors cited in the Supreme Court's decision 2 years ago, Waxman noted that not long before Millerell's case came to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, that court had found that the same two prosecutors had engaged in racially discriminatory practices in other trials. Justice Scalia, was this brought to the state court's attention? Answer, we don't have the transcripts of that hearing, but the state court can take note of it. Justice Scalia, oh my, I think the burden is on the defendant. I don't remember names of people in this court. Answer, a finding by the state's highest court that a prosecutor has engaged in intentional race-based discrimination is not, I hope, an everyday occurrence. You also have to look at all the other evidence of racial discrimination. Justice Scalia, so we have to go through each juror, one by one. A buckshot attack on them has to be addressed pellet by pellet. Waxman suggested a different analogy. Your analysis is pointillistic, he told Scalia. It's like looking at a Seurat painting and looking only at the dots. Justice O'Connor, was there any evidence that the jury cards were marked on the basis of race? Answer, every single card compiled by prosecutors lists the gender and race of the prospective juror, even jurors who were not questioned. The cards also note whether the person is fat or has a beard or mustache. And that matches up with the manual that said don't take blacks, don't take Jews, don't take women, don't take fat people or people with mustaches and beards. The prosecutors learned their lesson, and they learned it well. Waxman was followed to the lectern by lawyer Gina Bunn, representing the state of Texas. Justice Breyer immediately focused on the key point. I read the majority and dissenting opinions. It might be in my interest if people followed the dissenting opinions more often, said Breyer, who frequently dissents, but we expect people to follow the majority. And here, the majority writes, there's a strong inference of discrimination. Now, I read that and I agree, unless something else comes out at the Fifth Circuit that we don't know about. Is there something? Answer, there was additional analysis that the black jurors who were struck because of their views, not their race. Justice Breyer, black jurors who really supported the death penalty were kept off the jury, and white people with reservations were put on. Breyer then read verbatim from the testimony of prospective juror Billy Fields, an African-American who said that his faith had led him strongly to support capital punishment. Murder, Fields said, violates God's law, and the state is God's extension. When the state exacts death, that's what it should be. Miss Bunn asserted that Fields had been kept off the jury for a different reason. I know, said Breyer, waving his hand somewhat dismissively. Fields believed in rehabilitation, but so did white jurors who were not struck. Justice Kennedy, here the prima facie case of discrimination is immensely powerful because of the history of discrimination in the DA's office. Justice Souter, these are the same two prosecutors who were found guilty, as it were, of discriminating in previous cases. Justice Ginsburg, returning to the race-coded jury cards compiled by prosecutors, what neutral reason is there for that? When lawyer Bunn found her, Justice Scalia interjected, they could have wanted to avoid an all-white jury. At that, defense lawyer Seth Waxman's jaw literally dropped. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.